Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
We go to Athens for the latest on your Georgia Bulldogs. This is Bulldog Roundtable exclusively on The Fan. Live from the Georgia's own Credit Union studios at the Buttsmere Building in Athens.
25-20, far sideline, 15, 10, 5, get in there, touchdown!
This morning, The Fan staff brings you the latest on the Dogs.
The only station in Atlanta that's live in Athens all year long.
Yes, indeed! That was too easy!
Bulldog Roundtable is proudly presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union. Find out how you can become one of Georgia's Own at georgiasown.org.
And that's going to be the ball game. Georgia will win this ball game.
Now, live from the Georgia's Own Credit Union studios in the Buttsmere Building in Athens, it's Chuck Dowdle on the Bulldog Roundtable.
On a beautiful Thursday morning here in the Classic City, I'm telling you, is it like spring or what? This is just incredible weather, and we are absolutely loving it. But listen, thanks for being with us here on the Bulldog Roundtable. We're coming to you live from the heartbeat of Dog Nation and from the Georgia's Own Credit Union Studios. And I'm telling you, we've got a lot to talk about today because, well, first off, let's congratulate our women's basketball coach, Joni Taylor, just named as the SEC Coach of the Year, a great honor. She is a semifinalist, by the way, now for National Coach of the Year. And our Lady Dogs are over in Greenville, South Carolina, preparing for their debut. They got the double bye in the SEC tournament, the fourth seed. They will begin play tomorrow at 1:30 in Greenville against an opponent that we'll find out a little bit later today after the opening round of play. But nevertheless, Georgia's women's team, 18-5 on the regular season, 10-5 in the Southeastern Conference, and very proud of them. Congratulations to Joni. Congratulations to the team as they get set to play. Now, of course, earlier in the week, Coach Kirby Smart met with the media to talk about SEC prospects for this 2021 football season that is down the road. And, Adam, I one of the things that jumped out at me right away is that he seemed fairly confident in meeting with the media the other day and talking about, you know, just what lies ahead and the prospects for these Dogs.
Well, yeah, he should be confident. I think they have a good squad getting ready, and that I think having this spring practice is going to be a big help for them rolling in the spring. So I have no doubt that he should be confident. Now, he did say every player on the squad is, you know, currently available to play cornerback, so we'll see what happens there. Maybe he's a little concerned there, but they'll work it out. And I think he has with JT Daniels, I think he's got a strong offense coming in and good reason to have that confidence.
When he mentioned that, I have to tell you, the first name that jumped to mind was Jordan Davis at cornerback. That was the idea of Jordan at cornerback was really interesting. Let's get to a good buddy of ours who covers the Dogs like none other, Jake Rowe of Dogs 24/7, and a great friend of the show. Jake, good morning, and we were just, Adam and I were just talking about Kirby on this week on the big Zoom conference with the media, saying that everybody on the squad was was a candidate to play cornerback.
Hey Chuck, I've been on the phone with compliance for the past for the past couple of days, trying to figure out if I've got any eligibility left. They can go out there and compete.
I just hope compliance is saying no.
I hope so too. I'm sawed off. I'm old and I'm slow. So.
Well, it is interesting that that is the question that everybody has going into spring. But, you know, there's still some scholarships available, and there's that portal, and there are names that pop into that portal on a daily basis. Do you think that we will see a defensive back, a cornerback, join this roster?
Yeah, I'd be shocked. I'll be shocked if there's not one. And that's not necessarily – from anybody who's heard about it, although there has been some contact with Darion Kendrick at Clemson. He's second team all ACC in 19, and then he was first team all ACC in 20. I think there's some interest there. We'll see how that works out. He was a five-star receiver coming out of high school. He's played the position at a high level, struggled some on and off last year, but he's an experienced player. He's a very good player. He fits what Georgia wants as far as the mold for a cornerback. So, but if it's not him, if he doesn't end up, at Georgia, or Georgia doesn't end up pursuing hard, I still feel like they're going to go get somebody. Whether it's it's not just cornerback; it's star. It's that fifth defensive back position that is in the game 70 to 80% of the time. Sometimes 100% of the time when they're playing the right team who runs the three wide receiver offense. So that position has to be filled too. You've seen guys like Maurice Smith, Tyreek McGee, Tyreek Stevenson, Mark Webb. All of those guys have played it over the years. Aaron Davis. And that's a position that's got to be filled too. So it may not be specifically a cornerback. It may be a guy they feel fits to that position as well, because it also has to be filled.
Jake, just being the having grown up listening to Larry Munson and Vince Dooley, so always scared to death and fearing for the worst. Let's assume the worst. We don't get anything else. Are there candidates on this roster that can fill the need?
Absolutely. You're more worried in a situation like this, in my opinion, especially at cornerback, if you don't have. If you've got questions about matching up athletically, Georgia doesn't have that. I mean, Keely Ringo and Jalen Kimber and Amir Speed and Nylon Green and the list goes on of inexperienced guys who have the raw tools to play that position at a high level. And there'll be some growing pains and there'll be some struggles and there'll be some big plays if Georgia has to roll with that group and that group alone starting in game one next year. But in terms of having just the raw ability and the capability to play that position, I think Smart's got confidence in that. He said that straight up. He said that they have capable players. They just don't have much experience. And, that can be a little scary. But at the same point, I think it's even scarier if you're light on numbers or if you don't have guys that are capable of playing the position at a high level, if you maybe have to roll with a guy that's got a year or two of experience under his belt, but just really struggles because he's not big enough or he's not fast enough or he doesn't have the instincts to play it. And I don't think that latter problem is one Georgia's dealing with.
Talking with our good friend Jake Rowe from Dogs 24/7. And Jake, let's move on past that secondary problem. What is the next position or the next concern that you are being that you will be interested in seeing addressed here in the spring?
Well, I think I go to linebacker, and not necessarily because Georgia doesn't have the guys there, but because a couple of guys are going to be injured and out for spring. N'Kobe Dean won't be able to participate this spring. He had surgery to repair a torn labrum. The same thing can be said for outside linebacker Mikael Sherman. You go in the spring, and Dean has played so much football that you feel good about him. You feel good that he's one of those guys that, yeah, you'd love to see him get all those spring reps, but he'll be fine without him. But he's still the quarterback of the defense. He's still the most impactful and experienced inside linebacker after being Georgia's leading tackler a year ago. And maybe that's an opportunity for Georgia to build some depth at that spot. But then again, Tresman Marshall is another guy that's going to be there. He's probably going to be limited after having shoulder surgery during the season. So that's something to keep an eye on. And then you look at outside linebacker, you got MJ Sherman, who is a highly touted prospect. He'll be a redshirt freshman this year going into his second year. Georgia lost two guys at that position in Jermaine Johnson and Azeez Ojulari after the end of the 2020 season. Adam Anderson, Nolan Smith are back. You feel good about those two, but Georgia wants to use three, four guys at outside linebacker, maybe even as many as five. And without Sherman there, then you have to kind of worry really about, getting some young guys maybe ready to play. And, that sword cuts both ways, as I mentioned at inside linebacker. With somebody out, somebody has to step up and get those reps, and it may offer you an opportunity to get those guys ready to play.
Jake, in the couple of minutes I got left with you, we had an inordinate number of early enrollees out of the signing class from back in December. Are you hearing any names that are already starting to bubble to the surface that may be able to contribute early on for Georgia?
Yeah, you know, you definitely, you know, hear that. The number one thing I listen to, Chuck, and try to be quick with this, is maturity and mindset. And you heard it about N'Kobe Dean, DeAndre Swift, Andrew Thomas. All those guys made an impact in year one. And you want to know which guys come in with that kind of level of maturity to be able to focus and absorb everything. Nyland Green, the cornerback out of Newton High School in Covington, is a guy that I've heard that about already, that he just kind of is cut from a different cloth in that way, and that's always a good thing.
Just kind of gets it.
Right, yeah, just understands what it takes to be good and to get ready. Heard some good things about Chaz Chambliss, the outside linebacker from Carrollton. You know, he impressed during bowl practices, big-time motor, really good athlete, pass rusher, can play the run. And then Amarius Mims, the massive offensive tackle, 6'7", 320 pounds from Bleckley County, five-star prospect. Georgia's going to be wanting to figure out the offensive line, and he's got an SEC-ready body already, and he's really a powerful kid coming in. He's not one of those big athletic tackles that has to get a lot stronger and a lot bigger to play at the next level. He kind of has that built in already, so he'll be a guy I'll be watching as well.
Jake, can't thank you enough for your time, my friend. Always enjoy your take on what's going on with Georgia football, and we'll catch up with you again here real soon as we get into spring practice.
Thanks, Chuck. Appreciate you having me, bud.
Okay, no problem at all. Jake Rowe, Dogs 24/7. We'll take a break. We're going to go over and check on, oh, I hate to do this, but team, it just seems like we're all chasing year in and year out. The Crimson Tide of the University of Alabama over in Tuscaloosa, that's next here on the Bulldog Roundtable.
The only Atlanta station broadcasting live from Athens all year long.
This is Bulldog Roundtable on The Fan.
This is...
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey, sandwich lovers. Today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open. Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.
Bulldog Roundtable with Chuck Dowdle, live from the Georgia's Own Credit Union Studios in the Buttsmere Center in Athens, on the official sports talk station of the Georgia Bulldogs, The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
Hey, welcome back. Let's head over to Tuscaloosa now. And Gary Harris, host of the Gary Harris Show on Tide 100.9 in Tuscaloosa. Gary, good morning to you. Appreciate you getting up a little early and joining us here on the Bulldog Roundtable. And, boy, I tell you, it just seems like the rich get richer. You win another national title and then turn around and have the best recruiting class in I guess they're saying the history of recruiting. And it just never stops.
Hey, Chuck, that's the way it seems. Yeah, according to 24/7 Sports, that composite rankings that they do since they've been doing it, this 2021 signing class for Alabama is the highest rated ever. And as you said, that's on the heels of a sixth national championship in the last 12 years for Nick Saban and Alabama football. So, yeah, it's going pretty well.
I got to tell you, one of the things off your this year, this past year's team, and I just got to be honest, and, you know, congratulations to the Tide, but that may have been the best Alabama team that I've seen. I vote on the Heisman, and I could have put three names, and in fact, I did vote Najee Harris, and he wasn't even one of the finalists, and I could make a strong case for him winning the Heisman Trophy. But then you had Waddle, you had Smith, you had Jones. It was incredible.
Yeah, Chuck, I think the concern was, you know, a few weeks out was that, you know, those guys would split the votes, that Najee, Smith and Mac Jones would split the votes, and you know Trevor Lawrence would win the trophy. But as it got closer to the postseason, as good as Mac Jones was, as good as Najee Harris was, and they were terrific. What Devontae Smith did from the receiver position, particularly with the fact that Waddle had gone down, you know, on the opening kickoff against Tennessee, and he just took it to another level. I mean, you know, he did everything. He caught touchdowns. He caught balls over the middle, caught screens and turned them into big plays, you know, caught it in traffic, took the hits. I mean, just had an unbelievable year. But all three of those guys, and as you said, Waddle, had he not gotten hurt, he might have been in the mix. But I think they got it right in the end. I really thought Devontae Smith should have won the Heisman Trophy, and he did.
Well, I mean, congratulations to the Tide. It was an incredible year. Now let's look ahead and tell me, out of this recruiting class, you know, is this going to be another case of all of us, you know, trying to catch Alabama?
Well, as you know, and it's trite to say this, but it's true, you can never judge a recruiting class on signing day. I mean, you've got to wait literally until, you know, there's a couple years in or 3 or 4 years in to see how they did. And that'll be the proof. But yeah, on paper, it's a terrific class. I mean, you've got to mix at every position. You know, there are a lot of classes where schools are just saying, you know, we're going to try to get the most talented players we can, regardless of position. A lot of, you know, new coaches will do that. Established programs will have more of a plan as far as spreading it out. But very rarely do you see a class where you get just about everything in terms of incredible talent at all the positions on the field, really. I mean, you look at this offensive line class with the Brockmeyer brothers, with Latham, the offensive tackle, Jaden Roberts, another offensive lineman. I mean, these guys are incredibly talented. Terrence Ferguson from there in the state of Georgia, highly rated, and potentially a couple, three of them good enough to come in and play right away. And this is a position of need for Alabama based on what they've lost. You know, they got their quarterback in Jalen Milroe. They've got speed at wide receiver, which clearly they're going to need to replace some guys there. But, you know, Ja'Cory Brooks, it goes on and on. Ijah Hall, Christian Leary, who's already enrolled. You know, they got defensive backs. They got linebackers. They got defensive linemen. So on paper, Chuck, and I've been, you know, here the entire time that Saban has been here, and I agree with what people have said, that on paper, this is as good a class as he's ever had, and that's saying something because he's been number one in recruiting a lot.
Yeah, there's no doubt that, you know, this was a haul for the Tide. Gary, and talking with Gary Harris, he's the host of the Gary Harris Show on Tide 100.9 over in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And, Gary, I got a couple of minutes here left with you, and let's turn our attention to basketball. And
sure.
In the SEC this year, I thought there were two huge surprises. One is how great Alabama was. The other was how not so great Kentucky was. You know, but Alabama was certainly the surprise of the season, of the basketball season in the conference. Just not just the fact that they won the regular season title, but that they just kind of ran away with things.
Yeah, well, you know, speaking of recruiting classes, Nate Oates had a good one. And then he had those three seniors that, you know, John Petty, many thought might go to the draft. Some thought Herb Jones might go to the draft, and Alex Reese came back as well. So they had three seniors that had been in the program for 4 years. And as you know, Chuck, you don't see that often anymore with talented guys. Most of them don't make it to their senior class. And they brought in Jordan Bruner, who was a graduate transfer from Yale out of Columbia, South Carolina, that had played terrific basketball, 6'9" or 10, can play in the post, can also go out. You know, they play a lot of four out, one in, and
yep,
they can go out and shoot the three. And, you know, Javon Quinterly had been forced to sit out last year, even though Alabama thought he should have been eligible, former McDonald's All-American out of Villanova. And they had a lot of depth on this team, and they were able to overcome injuries when guys got hurt. And, you know, from night to night, it might be a different guy that does it for you. But they play fast, as you've seen. And, of course, obviously Georgia fans remember just a couple of weeks ago when they hung 115 on them, what they're capable of when they're knocking down those threes. But the good news, Chuck, is they've been able to find a way to win games when they have it shot it well from three, which is going to be the key for them, because when they're on, you know, they can do some damage. But can they win games when they're not making threes, when teams are doing a good job of defending them? And they've been able to do that just the last couple games, you know, against Mississippi State and against Auburn. They didn't score their normal amount of points, but they found a way to win. But I'm a little surprised, to be honest with you. I thought they would have a good team. I didn't think they'd have an SEC championship team and kind of win it going away the way that they have. As far as Kentucky, I think in this year, Chuck, it just caught up with him. I mean, to turn your roster over basically every year at some point, and it, you know, I guess it came in a pandemic season, maybe when they couldn't get the
continuity
that they
you.
Needed. Yeah, it just caught up with them. You know, they're still a talented team, and I don't think anybody's counting them out in this SEC tournament coming up. But as far as the regular season, by Kentucky standards, yes, it's been a disaster.
Yeah, I don't think anybody, you know, relishes the idea of facing Kentucky in the SEC tournament. But right now, I don't think anybody relishes facing Alabama, and that is next up for Georgia. Mm-hmm. At 2:30 at Saturday here at Stegman Coliseum. Is this an Alabama team now that's going to come in still – you know, looking at finishing strong?
Well, I know this. They're not going to score 115 points. And Georgia's going to learn from the first meeting. And, I do think that Oates will coach them hard and explain to them, hey, we're still playing for seeding. We want momentum going into the SEC tournament. But I think it'll be a very competitive game. I think Georgia's talented. I've always thought Tom Crean is a good coach. Alabama played well offensively, quite honestly, Chuck. I didn't think Georgia defended very well in that first game. I mean, that's just being honest. They did not guard very well. I expect
we left too many guys wide open for threes.
Yeah, exactly right. And I think they'll guard better. They'll be at home. I mean, I think Alabama's a better basketball team, clearly, but I think Georgia's capable on Saturday of making it a competitive game. And if you get it close at home down the stretch, you may have a chance to win the game.
Well, we got our fingers crossed. I'll promise you this: we're going to show up. And one thing I will agree with you about is that Alabama's fast speed of play. You know, Georgia loves to play fast too. Mm-hmm. So fans that come to the game or watch on television on CBS on Saturday better not blink, because that ball's going up and down the floor quickly and it's going in the air.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. That's for sure.
All right, Gary, listen, I thank you so much for your time this morning and your insight into Alabama sports. But Gary Harris, he's the host of the Gary Harris Show on Tide 100.9 in Tuscaloosa. And we'll catch up with you again as we approach that football season this summer. So appreciate very much your time this morning, Gary.
My pleasure, Chuck. Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a break. We come back, we're going to talk some more about Georgia basketball with assistant coach Steve McClain. He's next here on the Bulldog Roundtable.
This is the official sports talk station of the Dogs.
It's Bulldog Roundtable on The Fan.
Hi, this is Vince Dooley, and you're listening to the Georgia Bulldog Roundtable on the official sports talk station of the Georgia Bulldogs, 680 The Fan. Now on FM at 93.7. Go Dogs!
Thank you very much, and welcome back to the Bulldog Roundtable. While I'm thinking about it, we've got a four-pack of tickets to give away to Saturday's game, Georgia versus Alabama at Stegman Coliseum. I think I said, when I was talking to Gary, 2:30. It's a 2 o'clock, 2 o'clock tip.
2:07. 2:07. With a five-minute slide, we've been told. So it could be 2:12.
Because if the earlier game on CBS runs a little long, right? We've got 2 o'clock tip at Stegman Coliseum. And, of course, we've got a four-pack of tickets. First caller, and by the way, you can pick the tickets up at will call. So it's 404-231-1680. 404-231-1680. Four tickets. See Georgia and Alabama. And by the way, this game was kind of added to the schedule as a result, of course, of Georgia losing out on the opportunity to go play Texas A&M during February because of, A&M had a lot of COVID problems and had a number of games canceled. But joining us now is assistant coach Steve McClain. And coach, I know this is a big one on Saturday, an opportunity to play the regular season champs in the SEC, Alabama, get a little revenge from what happened over in Tuscaloosa. And I was just thinking, you know, right now when I look at our team, I think of Longfellow's poem, "The Little Girl with the Curl." You know, when she's good, she's very good, but when she's bad, she's horrid. And that's kind of the way we've been lately.
I see you're way more educated than me. I haven't read that one. You know what? I think it's been such a tale of different games. And you come off the LSU game where we played as complete a game and took control early against a very talented team. And then you come back against South Carolina, and it was like nothing could go right, and nothing could you just couldn't get a feel. And so I still think sometimes you, and it's, I've seen more of that this year, and I don't know why it is all over the country, but I think there's no question it's exciting to have Alabama coming in. It's an exciting time of year. So no matter what, after Saturday, you're heading for the conference tournament. And when you get to the conference tournament, everybody goes back to basically, it doesn't matter what you've done. Now you got another opportunity. So I think more than anything, we're looking at it as what a great opportunity. Most people might look at it like, well, wow, we got to play Alabama. No, we get to play them, and like you said, we get a chance to come out and hopefully have a different outcome than what we had over in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, I think that is a great and I'm one of those who, when I saw this game, this matchup, I thought to myself, this is an opportunity. This is a big opportunity. It's on national TV. This is an opportunity for Georgia to step up and say, look what we can do. And so I am very much looking forward to it, and hope that that the team, accepts that challenge in that light. Here's an opportunity to show what we can do. I was talking earlier in the week, when I worked in Miami, I had an opportunity to work with Coach Lou Saban, the football coach who'd come out of the NFL and, came to the University of Miami. And he told me one time, he says, the hardest thing for me to remember coming from the pros to God is that these are just kids. And they are kids. And sometimes their attitude and how they look at things is different, and how they respond to things is different. And I'm wondering if, as a coach, is that sometimes difficult to remember?
Well, I think here's what you got to remember, and I don't know whether it's been a fortunate thing in my career or an unfortunate thing, but this is the fifth, maybe sixth time that I've been involved in where you're trying to build a culture, okay? And you're trying to change what people want. Well, at the end of the day, if you said, okay, Steve, Severe and Tamani are your two leading guys. Well, they're both sophomores in college, and so your expectation, and again, you can go, well, but coach, you brought in three grad transfers. Problem is, it's their first year in the program.
Exactly.
And so as you try to build and what your expectation is, someday when COVID's over and you come in my office and you look at the rings that I have sitting here, well, that's our expectation heading into the next week and 2 weeks. But are you there yet where your players understand that? That's your point. And I think that was the point he was making. When you get to the point where you have veteran guys and guys that have been through this, it's kind of like, listening to all the expectations for Georgia football next year. Well, why are they there? Because as a fan group, as a media group, people go, we're going to have an experienced team back.
Yeah.
Guys that have been through the battles. Well, now that's where you want to get. And in this day and age with the transfers, it's getting harder and harder to get there where Alabama's a great example. They've got a couple true seniors on that team. Petty's been through this league and understands it. Well, that's where we want to get is you're building winning. Every year the conference records get better. Now, where do you take that jump and go, now we're in that 1, 2, 3, 4. Now we're fighting for that. And I think that's where this group has grown. It's just been the step back. All of a sudden, you beat LSU, you beat Missouri, and then you have the South Carolina game. And no one spends more time trying to figure out than coach, where, how does that come? How does that come? But again, we are dealing with young people. And you're, I would have told you we had great preparation before those games, great practices, and then it doesn't happen. So it's the greatest thing of college athletics. The best part is you get another opportunity.
And opportunity is exactly what's in front of us on Saturday, Coach. And I'm looking forward to it. Let's take full advantage of it.
Well, there's no question. We're excited about it. And you've been around Coach Green enough to know the day the league put it out there. He was great. Hey, yep. This is what we want. This is who we want to play. And because when you're trying to get there, you want to play the best.
And well, let's do that on Saturday. And, Coach, I appreciate your time this morning. Coach Steve McClain, assistant coach at the University of Georgia. We appreciate all of you and Dog Nation for being with us today here on the Bulldog Roundtable. And let's have a great Bulldog Day, everybody.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.